lunchtime.
Hello.
Sandra, I said that I would like to tell you the story of Integral Healthcare. And that essentially is the story of how all cultures on the world are connected and how we can understand how all the world cultures are interrelated, specifically by seeing how their forms of healing are interrelated and complement each other. That also means that the world cultures complement each other. And that complementarity between the world cultures is actually best seen in the complementarity of the different forms of science, as science developed from material science, which is called classical science, to molecular science, which is called relativity theory, to atomic science, which is called quantum theory, to now the subatomic science, which is called field theory. And we've already spoken about how they all interconnect in what we can best call tetrionics, and how tetrionics unites all of these forms of science. I had come to the same conclusion, but Calvin Abraham showed how we can show that in a geometry. And I would now like to talk about how you can also see that in the way the world cultures interconnect by simply realizing that in our body we connect these different perspectives of the material, the molecular, the atomic, and the information level, which field theory attempts to describe. And we can make the shift from looking at reality, the world of matter, to the realization, the realm of ideals and ideas. So in Integral Healthcare, all of that comes together. And I'd like to start this story simply by recapitulating how I came into that, because for me, none of this was logical when I started. None of this was evident from the onset. I had to find a way out of the thinking that I found around me into a different way of realization that we operate within us. My starting point was that I was playing in the brooks in Austria, building dams in the rivers. We were there on holiday, and I realized that sometimes the flow of the water would demolish these dams I built, and sometimes I could use the dams of redirecting the flow of the water. For me, that was fascinating. I realized that with matter we can use matter to change the flow of things, but also the flow of things will change the form of matter. As you already know, that is what tetrionics describes, that the flow of things is actually the electromagnetic field, which exists before matter is formed. But that electromagnetic field also forms matters in tetrions, that is called the tetrions, and the tetrions can glue together by their electromagnetic fields, strongly, weakly, or in an indirect way, the derived force, that is called. Strong force, weak force, and the derived force. So once you see that, you can also understand how information and matter connects in a very direct manner using tetrionics. But I wasn't there at that time, because I went to engineering school to study the movement in the universe in relationship to the forms of the universe, which in my graduation thesis took the form of the interaction between water and matter again, but that's this time as the way the pillar of a bridge needs to be able to stand in place while the river flows by, and in a tidal river that direction can be one way and the other way, but also how with dams you can protect the coastline against ocean currents, how by dikes you can protect a coastline from overflowing and flooding the land behind it, and more in general, how using matter you can play with flow. While I was studying that, I realized that the crucial element of that was the boundary. Can you make a boundary which is able to have its own integrity so that the flow cannot take it apart? And as we can see in the mountain ranges all over the world, such boundaries do not really exist, because you can find that over the eons trickles of water are able to carve out the rock. And as the Romans already said, the drop carves the water not by its force but by its continuity, by always falling. And that way the rain has carved the landscape. And once you get closer to the understanding of matter, you can also understand how you need to go deeper in the understanding of matter to see how we can work with matter, and also in integral healthcare, how our body cells use matter to work with these flows of information. So what I'd like to do now is show you the tale, the story of how I, in a way, accidentally and in another level intentionally moved through my life, while, let's call it, my soul navigated me from one topic to the next to the other, so that I moved from engineering school to the British Library, where I read up on the knowledge of the world cultures, and then into medical school to see how the descriptions of science actually work in our body. Because for me it was evident that a description of reality doesn't much help us, because it doesn't help us understand how we can work with the operation of realization. Yes, over the years we have seen how we got to understand matter, as described in classical science, then molecules, which actually became describable by the theory of relativity. I cut up the word theory because it has the word theos and rein, which is, theos is God and rein is flow. So theos in Greek is also the universe or the universal process of creation, and rei or rein is the dynamic of that process. So in relativity theory, we see that we start to connect the matter to the motion in the molecules. And then in quantum theory, we can actually see that we need to understand the connection between matter and the electromagnetic field. In field theory, the realization comes in that we must be able to understand the quantum field without the presence of matter, because the movement of the quantum field and the cohesion of the quantum field is actually the basis of the kind of matter that can be formed and the forms of matter that will be formed. So I learned these things in engineering school, and I also realized that system theory got closest to my insight of the dynamic of the boundary, the four-dimensional dynamic logic. And that system theory, even though it does not describe all of the aspects of that four-dimensional dynamic logic, it still describes all of the practical elements of it. And of course, system theory has been applied in cybernetics. Cybernetics has been modeled using the radio diagram, and essentially any electronic device which you use is based on that schematic of the radio diagram. What I now like to present is the insight that we can use that model of the radio diagram to understand how healing works and to understand how healthcare works. So I first like to describe how integral healthcare works, for the simple reason that when you know what integral healthcare is, then you also know how you can use different forms of healing. And following from that, you can also realize how you yourself can become be a healer, because essentially you already are a healer, because you your body already works with self-healing. So before we go to the understanding of the self-healing, and from that your capacity to be a healer, everybody can be a healer. Before that, I'd like to put in place what integral healthcare is. But in order to show that, I basically need a four-dimensional logic diagram by which we can understand that these four forms of science actually help us get beyond the limitation of science, because science is a descriptive language. It works with objects. What in healthcare and healing, we work with subjects. We are the subject. And beware, we actually need to replace that word subject by the word individual, because the word object and subject have this fundamental Roman rule implication that an object is something that is objected to whatever you do, and as a subject you are subjected to what somebody else wants. That's why the Romans called these people subjects. We need to know that an object and a subject are not different categories from the perspective of Roman law, because both the object and the subject are essentially just the possession and the slave. So I will be using those words for the moment, because people are used to see object and subject juxtaposed to each other. But once we've seen the relationship between the object and subject, or matter and intelligence, or matter and spirit, then we can get out of this object-subject perspective into the individual and creation perspective, because then you can see how the universe works in you. And by understanding how the universe works in you, you can also understand how you can use freedom of choice to change your relationship in the environment, also how you can change your relationship with others, and thereby come to extend your knowledge, extend your connectedness, extend your experience of life, and actually enter into a more fully participation in creation. So first I'd like to make the story quite simple by referring back to what science has described. And that's the relationship between classical science, the theory of relativity, quantum theory, and field theory. In my storytelling, I will very often repeat what I say, because I am at that time describing something which you can perceive in one reality or one form of realization, so that you can come to understand that that same pattern actually applies in a different form, and a seemingly totally disconnected form, in another aspect of our realization. So in this case, I want to juxtapose classical science, relativity theory, quantum theory, and field theory, so that we can see how Western medicine, Eastern medicine, Far Eastern medicine, and Far Western medicine actually are the same principle, and that we can actually see how they are linked by understanding how in our body the atomy, the physiology, the regulatory system, and the information integration system are connected. So then we can understand how body, mind, soul, and spirit in us actually form the connection. And as you can hear, in describing science, we have a way of thinking. In describing the connection between the cultures, we can see that worldwide we all share aspects of this way of thinking. Then in our body, we can see that our body actually integrates these different ways of thinking. And then finally, in our being, as body, mind, soul, and spirit, we can see how we operate them. So in that sense, by first describing science, we can connect to all of those people who believe in objective reality, so that everything they know, they can work with, they can use, but they can then understand in a larger perspective by seeing how what they know is a part of what humanity as a whole knows. So we are essentially connecting the human to humanity. Once we have that, then we can create humanity to the forms of healing of humanity, which I call the world heal forms of world healing. And that definitely needs to be understood in the double sense. It's not only the different form of healing which have been developed over worldwide, but it also is the instrument or the method or the understanding, the being which helps us connect the world cultures, because we can see that every world culture has part of the story. And I call it the self-laying puzzle. It's like every world culture is a piece of the puzzle, and once you put the pieces of the puzzle together, you can see how they all connect. In this case, for me, the picture of the world puzzle is not something you can put down on a table. You actually need to put it in a globe. You need to put it in three dimensions, so that you have front and back, left and right, top and bottom, and inside and outside. You can work with those four dimensions, because we can then see how that globe is also the form of the cells, and then we can see how we can work with that in body, mind, soul, and spirit. So before going into this description of the four forms of world healing, the starting point of my discovery tour was what happens at the level of science. As I mentioned, there we see that classical science describes matter. I tend to call it dead matter, because there is no consideration of freedom of choice. Actually, the perspective on what is seen in that methodology is like that of a baby. The scientist considers him to be central in the universe. Even though they call themselves an outsider observer, they play God and assume that what they know is valid for everything. And actually, the planetary pollution and the planetary destruction and the killing off of species is the result of that attitude. They thought that what they do is unlimited, and as a result, they did not take into account the sequence of consequence of their actions. They did not account for the changes in the universe, so they were not able to respond to the changes of the universe, which makes them totally irresponsible. So in that sense, the classical theory of science is like a baby, irresponsible. When we grow from a baby to a child, we learn to stand up. We are no longer dependent on the circumstances in that severe degree, so that we can actually learn to play around it, but we also learn how to work with our limitations by realizing that there are limitations. And that is what you find in a theory of relativity. Relativity theory was based on the formulation of the Brownian motion. It was started by looking at the movement of seeds of grass on the surface of water. The seeds of grass will float, and then the surface tension of the water actually interacts with the electric charges of the environment and the grass seeds, so that in the zitterbewegung of the grass seeds on the water, you can see the essence of the dynamic of molecules, which is described by the length of the molecules represented by the grass seed, by the free path length in time and in space between them, because the free path length in space determines how far the grass seeds are away from each other, but the free path length in time is determined by how fast the grass seed moves and when it will start to bump into the other grass seed. at which time the water surface, which is sort of dimpled down, that is actually where the curvature of time comes from in the description of the theory of relativity. As the grass seeds get closer together, the dimple in the water surface becomes less. It sort of builds up between them and will try to keep them apart as they get closer, and that is what is described in the theory of relativity as the event horizon. So the theory of relativity limited the model of classical science. It brought it in motion by no longer looking at matter but looking at molecules. Then there's something which needs to be added at that. The confusion in theory of relativity was that it did not use a Fourier analysis to describe that. It didn't look at the wave going up and down, but it looked at the complete cycle of the wave movement as it was described by Riemann. And when you look at the wave as a cycle, and of course in the cells we have a cycle like that, then you can see that if you look at it from the outside, you will see a circle, which people then call a particle. But when you're inside of that cycle, you can see that it moves up and down one way and the other, and so you see the wave. So the confusion between a particle and a wave is only because people do not realize when they move from the outside and the inside of the boundary. And so when they yet know that there is an event horizon in the theory of relativity, they cannot see when they move from one side of the event horizon to the other, and as a result what they would describe as a black hole on the one side, they forget that they need to connect it to the white source on the other side. So what you see as a black hole in one universe will appear as a white star in another universe. So there are connections between the sides of the boundary, and that's what the theory, the quantum theory, then described, where Einstein was looking at the seeds on the water, and later the seeds lined up, forming a line, which was called the ray of light, with the waves in between the ray of light. So when you look at the ray of light in the model of Einstein, you can think of grass seeds connected up one behind the other, but the connection point between the grass seeds is not described in the theory of relativity. The transition of the event horizon is not addressed in the theory of relativity. So when you look at the light wave of Einstein, you see there is one wave, and then there is another wave, and then there is another wave. But there is no clarity on how the one wave, going from the one wave node to the other wave node, actually needs to go to a crossing point where electricity and magnetism are interconnected, where the electromagnetic wave goes through zero point. And once you understand that it is the zero point which determines where exactly the electric wave and the magnetic wave connect, and then you also know that it is the information of the system, which in wave theory called the wave envelope, needs to be taken into account. So in wave theory, you would look at a wave, you can connect it up to another wave, and then you can get a wave train. But if you have a wave train, then it has a beginning and an end. That means that around the wave trains there is a wave envelope. The beginning and the end of all these grass seeds, or all of these waves of light, together form a length of the wave train. But the defining end of the wave train, which you can also compare to the ends of the DNA, are defined by the wave envelope. But just as a violin string, where the wave envelope is actually where the string is tied up to the ends of the body of the violin, then you can see that you can have waves of different lengths within that system, and that's where you can then narrow it down or model it down to the smallest level. What is the smallest wave that will fit into that string of that violin, and then you can see that there is the minimal distance, which is called the quantum distance. So the minimal size of the wave will be defined by the quantum distance, but the quantum distance is actually the transition from one side of the wave note to the other side of the wave note. So it's actually the size of the wave note where the electric and the magnetic field turn inside out. But the closer you get to the zero point, the more away you get from the electric magnetic as being physical, as being a force field, and the more you get to the electromagnetic being phasical, a field of phase incoherence, pure information. So that's what quantum theory describes, that when you look into the space between these wave nodes, that the waves that Einstein described, and when you look into the wave node, then you actually see how the phase change occurs. So in atomic physics, that is called the leap of the electron from one orbit to the other. But when the electron is in one orbit, it will have the wavelength that it has, and in mathematics it would call be the wavelength of the number n for number, and one wavelength outward or one wavelength inward, it would be n plus 1 or n minus 1. So the wavelength of the atomic orbits would be a difference of a wavelength. So there is one wavelength difference between the one orbit and the other. So an electron, in going from one orbit to the other, actually needs to change wavelength. It needs to invert its wavelength. So that inversion of the wavelength is called a quantum leap. It's actually the wavelength of the inversion of the wavelength. It sounds confusing, I know, but you need to understand we are now leaving the world of the things that we can see and entering into the world of the things that we can know things, the nothings. So we're at the level of waves, we can still define that there is something resonant, something coherent, say something physical. In quantum theory, we're actually looking at a loss of physicality, because we are looking at the change of phase, and that's actually what alchemy describes. So quantum theory describes what alchemy describes, that we need to look at the quintessence of the change of phase, and once we're there, we can see that there is a minimal length involved with that. But in that minimal length, the closer you get to the middle of that, the more information matters. And so where in quantum theory you then realize that you're actually looking at the way the electromagnetic field and the changes of the electromagnetic field, the quantum changes, affect the atom, then you can also start to understand that if it is the quantum field that changes the atom, then actually maybe you should forget about the atom and look at the quantum changes by themselves. And that's what field theory set out to do. And so what happens if you look at the violin string without the violin? And that's then called string theory. And then you already understand that the violin string will have its proper length within a violin. I just assume that you can hold on to that without the violin. You just have the string. Let's simplify it a bit more. Let's take away the catgut or whatever material the string is made from, so you just have the vibration of the string. And that's what you can do when you go from physics to mathematics. So you go from the reality of the violin to the physics of the string in vibration. Then you leave the physics and go to the mathematics of the vibration, and then you extend that understanding of mathematics. That space would be made up of only vibrations, more specifically the vibration of the change of phase between the electric and the magnetic field, and then that is what field theory tries to describe. How can vibrations connect up, and how can the vibrations amongst them create information in formation, and how can that information and form matter and form molecules and form the world that we know. I will just briefly recapitulate these four forms of science after having noted that what field theory tries to describe has actually been achieved by tetrionics. Tetrionics gives the description of this movement in the core of the quantum transition, this transition at the crossing point of the ray of light, which is also the transition between one atomic orbit and the other. So there is one wavelength difference between one atomic orbit and the other in that model of conventional science. What tetrionics then describes that with that new understanding, we can actually reconsider the classic model of science and see that it is not about an atom with different orbits, but that within the atoms we can see how electrons are in different positions in the atomic structure, that's actually a solid state structure, and that from there we can then understand how the clusters of deuterons, deuterons, a proton, a neutron, and an electron, how the structure of deuterons form atoms, and how in clusters of deuterons the positions of the electrons are very defined and fixed, so that from the model of tetrions you can actually measure the Bohr radius of the position of the atoms and the Schrödinger number of the relationship between the charges in the atomic field. I need to briefly mention that, even though it's far away from the topic for now, which is that of integral healthcare, because with tetrions we can actually get a much better understanding how the principle of integral healthcare actually work within our body, because the cells work with this principle of tetrionics, which then is why we can change the quantum by using freedom of choice, why our cells then can change the relationship between them, but can also change the molecules that they produce, as a result of which they change the materials or the position of the materials in the body. And then you can understand how by freedom of choice you can actually change the material structure in your body. That also means that if there is a disarray in the material structure in the body, you need to go back and understand how the physiology was changed, and first you must understand how the regulatory system was changed, and then you must understand how the information field was changed, because that is the reason why the cell started to re-regulate or dysregulate, and that is then the reason why the physiology was changed or got disturbed. That then explains how the anatomy got disturbed or distorted. I'll come back to that in a bit, but now I want to connect how classical theory, relativity theory, quantum theory, field theory are actually seen in the different cultures. The Western world has a very materialistic view, and you can also explicitly see that in Western world healthcare. They believe in objects, and they believe that they need to use control, command and control. They need to invasively interact with matter. They need to reorganize matter. There's a very much a Roman philosophy behind that of domination and control. And as a result, the Western model is in a continuous battle. And you can also see that in a notion of the fighting against disease and the lack of understanding of health. The Western medical model does not have an understanding of what health is. It uses the change of the form of the body, the change of the matter of the body, as a measurement of the change of reality in that model, and then they fight to get it back in place. So the Western system of healthcare is based on an objective approach, and they call it objective science. It's actually called classical science, at the foundation is the science of matter. I prefer to call it the science of dead matter. And by their philosophy of control and domination, they can actually only treat the symptoms, because they do not get to the deeper level of why things went wrong. And that's also why I accentuate that there is a direct connection between the Western medicine, or the medicine of the Western culture, and the philosophy of the Western culture of material science. So material medicine and material science are very much connected, and they are directly connected to the model of matter, which also means that this form of healthcare is not only invasive, but it is only symptomatic. So it first needs to have symptoms before it can do something. But when it does something, it can only treat the symptom. It can only try to rectify what is changed, without getting hold to the essence of where the change comes from, for the simple reason that in looking at matter, they do not enough look at the molecules. Sometimes they look at the molecules. Pharmaceutical methodology is very much based on the working of the molecules, but they ignore how cells form and transform or deform and reform molecules. So they don't look into the cells and the cellular activity of molecular formation and reformation and deformation. So they fail to see how cells operate atomic forces, and they fail to see how cells use cosmic energy of the cell, of other cells, of the organs, of the bodies, of other bodies, of the universe as a whole, to synchronize what they do. And so Western medicine, even though with the MRI and other technologies, they are now very much at the core of what happens at the system of the electromagnetic field. And for example, Walter Schemp, who has created the functional MRI, and who is now able to actually discern strands of nerves within the body, and who actually was able to resolve the Heisenberg uncertainty by calculating both sides of the equation, and thereby getting out of the trap of the event horizon of relativity theory. So if you calculate on one side and the other side of the equation, you can actually do what Bill Tiller has described. You can go through the boundary of the event horizon in the same kind of birthing spiral as we do in our body. You need to actually create a spiral of absorbing the energy into the boundary, and then when it's fully being absorbed by a spiral motion, then you can go through to the other side. It's as if you flatten a spiral into the surface, and the surface becomes a spiral, and then the spiral can continue on the other side, and all of the information, all of the energy that you have pumped in, will come out at the other side. So the understanding of Bill Tiller and the modeling of Walter Schemp actually shows us how we can get through this event horizon, and how we can connect opposite realities and opposite realizations. So then once you understand that, you can realize that Western medicine already has the knowledge of what happens at the electromagnetic level in the cells, but it has not been connected yet to the information field. Even though Herbert Fröhlich and others, Cyril Smith specifically, have already shown that all of the cells work with the information field, that homeopathy and acupuncture operate that information field that cells work with. The homeopathic medicine provides the radio field that cells can understand. Acupuncture works with the regulation of the singularities in electromagnetic fields, and the singularities are the crossing points between the one wave of the light ray and the other wave of the light ray. That's where the ray turns inside out, where the wave turns inside out, That's called a singularity. So in the singularities, you can actually reset how the cell connects to its environment. And the mathematics of this is very well known. It's called singularity theory, and one of the forms of singularity theory is the Gabor hologram. And in the Gabor hologram, you can see that the part connects to the whole and that the point connects to the universe. And so in the Western model, the understanding of the relationship of the part and the whole is there, but it is not used in the Western medicine. And so I decided to help people bridge the gap between physics and phasics, between matter and information, not by going into the depth of Western science, by going from the material view to the molecular view to the electromagnetic regulation to the information integration, which is described by Gabor and many others, but to instead show that as forms of healthcare, these approaches already exist, and they exist by the relation between the Western view of medicine, which is connected to the Western worldview, the objective worldview of dominism and determinism, materialism, reductionism. You can connect it to the Eastern view, the West, the Far Eastern view, the Far Western view. So I would now like to connect up these different world cultures so that you can see that what the West knows and what works well in the West is only a part of a larger picture. And you can only get the whole picture by connecting it up to the underlying levels, which in science we now can describe as the transition from matter to molecules to atoms to phase information, the electromagnetic quantum field. And in medicine, we call it the healthcare of the West. Then the molecular form of medicine is the naturopathy of the East. The electromagnetic regulation correction form of healthcare we know as the acupuncture of the Far East, and the information correction we know as the spiritual forms of healing of the Far West. Actually, it's all of the tribes all over the world who know this, but I just use these four denominations of the four forms of world culture with the four forms of healthcare to simplify that we can now see it as West, East, Far East and Far West. And thereby we can see that this is one continuous system where we can actually relate matter to molecules, to atoms, to pure information. In the Far West, we see the complement of what we see in the West. The Far West uses the information and the West uses the matter. In my work, what I do is build the bridge between those opposites. And the pillars of the bridge are then at the side of the West, it's the East, and of the side, the Far West, is the Far East. And I'll just recapitulate what I described for the sciences and also thus for the forms of matter in the forms of healthcare. So the Western form of healthcare is material, the Eastern form of healthcare is molecular, it's called the physiology, the Far Eastern is atomic, it's called the regulatory healthcare. Actually, it's the counterpart of the quantum jump, which is described by quantum theory. And the Far West looks at the information field without the presence of atoms, so it's the subatomic field. The Far West is where we need to start with, because the form of healthcare actually needs to be connected to that, for the simple reason that what we look at the West is the molecular, the material anatomic aspect of our body. But the body anatomy is actually based on the cells producing the matter and fixing the matter in such a way that it helps the cell to optimize their communication. So the anatomy of the body is not the starting point of the body, and it should not be the starting point of the learning of the medical doctors. It should actually be the end point of what doctors learn. They need to start with what cells do, how cells function, how cells divide, and how cells are formed out of cell fusion in the sexual genetic merger of sperm and egg. So we actually need to look at that process of the sperm and the egg coming together. What happens at the electromagnetic level? What happens in the information field? Why does the phase change in such a way that the sperm and the egg come together, and later that dynamic is turned around as the cell dividing as two cells? Actually, it's a sperm and the egg again dividing, but you no longer recognize them as a sperm and the egg. So we need to realize that what happens is that the fusion of sperm and egg comes together as the first cell, which is a zygote, which then result in the formation of two cells and more cells. But that means that we should not look at the cell, we should look at the vortex that is implied in that cell, and it is that vortex that is conveyed by the cell, and it is that vortex which connects everything to everything. And that's what we described in the story of the chakras, that vortex in the first cell connects to the vortex of the universe. And that vortex motion is actually the core of what we would call spirit, the information. And the turning point of that vortex, which is called the zero point, is actually the point of freedom of choice in our body. So actually the freedom of choice is already there when the sperm and the egg come together, because that's where the electric field and the magnetic field are forced into crossing, and are forced into the zero point. And into the zero point, the energy is no longer important, because the information takes over, and the information then connects the crossing point to what happens in the universe as a whole. And that is described by Gabor, Dennis Gabor, the creator of the hologram theory. The hologram itself was built later. And by understanding that the point and the universe are one, we can then also see that that is what shamanic spiritual healing works with. So in the core, spiritual healthcare works with the relationship between your worldview and your self view. And in the body, we can see it as a relationship between the cortex of the brain and the cerebellum in the brain. The cortex is what happens at the surface. The cerebellum is what happens in the spinal cord, right in the core of the body. And right in between the pineal gland, which is, say, the counterpoint of the zygote, the first cell of the body. So in that sense, it still is the first cell of the body. And the first cell of the body then listens to what happens on the surface of the body. It listens to what happens in the core of the body. And it calibrates that and seeks the balance between what happens at the surface, what happens at the core, and then decides if it is going to move the one way or the other way. And that's where we operate freedom of choice, as was described in the story of freedom of choice. So that is what spiritual healing works with. Is your self-image compatible with your world image? Is what you think actually what's going on? And as Buddhism describes it, if there is something wrong, then it is because your self-image is no longer compatible with your world image. You do not compute properly. So you need to let go of the self-image, you need to let go of your projection, and you need to come back to your perception. You need to stop being occupied in being involved in the outside world, and you need to come back to what we do in the core of the sleep cycle. You need to come back to what's actually happening within yourself, within your body, within your mind, within your soul, within your spirit, without you having an opinion about it. What is actually really true and going on, as other cultures would know it or describe it, what is God doing? And God, generate, operate, destroy, is principally what is the transformation which is going on at this moment? And how can you integrate that in the crossing point, in the zero point, where in the Gabor hologram the point is the hole? And so how in that zero point can you see the integration of that, and how can you identify that? That is, how can you re-identify it with you being God? How can you re-identify with you being a creator in creation? So spiritual healthcare has a whole series of techniques of basically helping people to let go of their preconceptions, to help people let go of their beliefs, to help people come back to the realization that whatever they believe is based on a decision which they took, which they can take differently. And once they realize that, then they can know that whatever decision they take, it is part of what's taking place in the universe as a whole. They can change their decision. They can actually decide to take decisions which compute within the universe as a whole. So that's what shamanic or spiritual healing does. It works at a correction of the information integration within our body. It works purely with information. There's nothing physical involved. The whole model of Western medicine does not apply. It is the closest you can get into seeing the software in the body operating the hardware. It's actually where you learn to compute the computation of the body itself. And when you work at that level, you can actually interact with the information that the cells use, as Mary Baker Eddy and others described. Once you're at that level, you can eliminate erroneous programs in your software. You can eliminate the programming errors in your software by going back to the syntax of the universe as a whole. So spiritual healing works at that deepest level. So once you understand that spiritual healing actually works with spirit, then you can understand that evidently there is nothing that you can measure at that level, specifically because science still needs to get into that information field and still needs to understand how in the phase field, as described by the Gabor theory, every part is the whole. But your involvement in that level is based on your first cell, and so you should not look at the body, but you should look at the first cell, because the first cell is actually the pivot point where everything in your body comes together. And actually it's also the point where in the sleep cycle you go to in the delta consciousness level, so that once you're there again, you're unified with the universe again. And once you're there and have let go of all the things that are not connected to what you really are, then the healing comes automatically. The self-healing is based on that level. So now let's go to the next level. Once you have the information field, then within the cells, that information field is used by the cells to synergize by synchronizing the way they work with the nuclear atomic forces. In working with the atomic nuclear forces, the cells can change molecules. And evidently, the changing of the molecules can only be done by changing the atoms. That is why you can know that it works with the atomic nuclear forces. Our cell is a core nuclear reactor. And in order to be able to do so, the information must tune in with the cell. So the point where the one wave of the light ray and the other wave of the light ray are connected, that quantum point is what happens at that level. This level of regulatory medicine is the level of the quantum flip in the body. It is the connection of the singularity in the body, where the one side of the boundary connects to the other side. It is the position where the wave change from the one orbit to the other orbit in the atom, that one wavelength can be flipped into its opposite. and as a result the freedom of choice can be flipped into the opposite, the quantum can be flipped into the opposite, and as a result the boundary charge can be flipped into its opposite, and the charge of the boundary reverses, as a result of which connectedness can be turned into separation, separation can be turned into connection. So at that level of the quantum change, that is where we can then flip the polarity of the boundary and we can change our involvement. And that is described in the theory of acupuncture. So when they talk about the yin and the yang, they talk about the two sides of the quantum. When they talk about Dai Chi, this double-sided spiral with the black and the white and the quarter of the white in the black and the quarter of the black in the white, actually it is a vortex of which you see the two sides as it turns inside out. So the symbol of Dai Chi is the singularity point which is the core of any boundary. So if you want to go through a boundary, you need to go through the singularity. Once you go through the singularity, you can phase invert the boundary, and as a result you can change the relation between the part and the whole. That is what happens in the quantum theory. So acupuncture theory starts with the realization all of the universe is one, that every boundary connects the one side of the universe with the other side of the boundary. Any disturbance in the universe is due to a shift of the boundary and the need to recalibrate, repolarize that boundary, as is described by spiritual healthcare. So acupuncture theory is based on this Gabor mathematics of spiritual healthcare. But in acupuncture theory, they look at the relationship between the crossing point of the life wave and the light wave as a whole. So acupuncture actually works with the core principle of making a laser, that if you have a spark, you put a mirror next to it, then the spark will go bounce back into the direction which from the spark it has already gone. Once you realize that you can put a mirror on the other side, you can have the spark bounce back on itself, but actually you can turn the spark into a light ray, because the light going out from the spark the one direction, the light going out from the spark the other direction, you now captured in a little box of mirrors. And by tuning the mirrors in the box, you can then actually have the light ray become so intense that it will burst out of the light box of the laser device. And that's actually what happens in our cells, where the DNA is actually the function of a spiral by which faster than light light can be turned into slower than light from ultraviolet down to infrared. And then in the cell, that infrared can be connected from one cell to the other, so that from light it can go to sound, from sound it can go into motion, which is what I address in this project Mathemusics. So acupuncture theory works with that understanding, that if you tune the laser, then you tune the way the cells connect to each other. And once you understand that the cells all use phase information, they use a connected shared radio field by which they know how they can synchronize these atomic nuclear forces that they work with, then evidently you don't have to look at the atomic nuclear forces, you need to look at how the tuning of that process is done. And acupuncture theory has a lot of basic theory behind it, in which you can see that the information as matter, which is the essence of the Dai Chi, actually represents what happens when you cross a boundary and when you relate change to state. And then you can also see how that then builds up to the four elements of the boundary, or the four elements of alchemy. The yes, no, not yes, and not no, and yes and not no all combined. Once you see that, you can turn that inside out, which is called the Dai Chi, of the Bagua. It is the relationship between the inside and the outside, the connecting of the inner processes of the body to the external processes of the body. And once you know the regulation points of that, of course you can tune how the organs can rebalance themselves, and as a result the cells within the organs can rebalance themselves, because you're recalibrating, rephasing the holographic field of the body by retuning the laser system of the different organs in the body, as a result of which all of the organs can connect up and form a united Möbius loop. And in that united Möbius loop can actually determine the relation between inside and outside. And so in the crossing point of that Möbius loop, you do exactly the same as what happens in the crossing point of the light wave of Albert Einstein, which is exactly what happens in the turning point of the quantum transition described by Max Planck. And so acupuncture theory is essentially a quantum theory applied to the body at the level where the electromagnetic field steers the coordination of the cells in their integration of the body and in their creation of the body. So once you understand that, then you can go from acupuncture theory to the next level of Ayurveda. And so you go from the far east to the east, you go from the process regulation to the process itself. And then in the east you can see that the Ayurveda medicine focuses on the nurturing of the body and the cleansing of the body. Essentially, the cells will have its food, the cells will have its poison. The food goes into the cell digests it, the cell uses it, the cell reproduces itself by those materials, and the residue, in mathematics called the residue vector, is then eliminated because it is no longer compatible or computable within the cell. So it is put out as the excrement, it is excreted. But that is the material which the cell can no longer use. It needs to move away from it. It can no longer take it in. So at the cellular level, you can see that that's how cells move around on the planet. They take in experiences, integrate them, digest them, and eliminate what is now no longer relevant. And Bruce Lipton describes the same at the level of the cell. That the sensory cell will look for the new information, the portal protein, the sensory protein will look for the new information, the portal protein will let the information in, the linking protein will have determined what to let in and out, and then the DNA mantle protein adds the new information to the DNA. So whatever is no longer computable is put out of the body, put out of the cell. And so that's where we see exactly the same in Ayurveda, which realizes that works for the body as a whole as well. So Ayurveda is based on the understanding that the internal processes of the body are based on the cell cycle. The cell cycle of the first cell is divided into the cell communication between the cells that come out of it, each of which has preserved the internal cell cycle. So the internal cell cycle goes on in every cell that comes after it, and the cell communication then extends the cells in their relationship to each other. Actually, it is the laser effect of the first cell lasing itself into a larger wavelength. So once you have that, you can understand how the one cell is slightly different from the other cell. Later you can see that the one organ is different from the other organ. But like the first cell having split into two cells, the two cells are essentially still the one cell, but now connected by their communication. Likewise, the organs are the expression of that communication. and the different aspects of it as the body is connected to the environment. So the organ cycle is actually the replication of the seasonal cycle around us, with summer, autumn, winter, spring, summer, and so on. And it is the outward going and the internal being. So in winter, the cell is internalized. In spring, it starts to externalize. In summer, it is external. Then in autumn, it internalizes again. So that is the dynamic of a boundary turning out inside out on itself. Ayurveda realizes that. Ayurveda knows that the process of the interaction between the body and the environment is determined by the continuity of the internal cycles as part of the external cycles. They know that our body does not exist separate from the environment, but that a Möbius loop connects the environment and our body. Acupuncture looks at the crossing point, and it regulates the crossing point by which the external cycle and the internal cycle are entrained and form one process. And Ayurveda looks at what goes in and out through these connection points. So of course they need to look at the equivalent of the portal protein of the cell. So they focus on all of the input-output portals of our body. The main one, of course, is the mouth and the anus. Actually, the mouth and the anus is two parts of the same opening. If you look at the gut, you can see that it is a pipeline. It's like a vacuum cleaner tube. It is a hose going from one end to the other. If you would shrink that hose, then you could see that the mouth and the anus are actually the same portal muscle. And you can see that the whole gut is just an extension of the connection between the mouth and the anus. And you can see that the sphincters in the body, the pylorus, the Houston gland, and Houston valve, and so on, they are just regulators of the rhythm of the fall through of the food through the gut as the material from the outer world is shuttled through the body and first physically crunched up, then chemically dissolved in the stomach, then electromagnetically pulled apart by the enzymes of the papillae of water, where the gall juices and the saps of the pancreas come together, and then into the large intestine, where microbes then actually act on our behalf to convert further material so that they can be absorbed through the surface of the skin of the gut into our body. Again, it is that process of something going from one side of the boundary going to the other side of the boundary, which connects everything. So in Ayurveda, they know that that principle is operative. It needs to go from one side of the skin to the other side. So all of their techniques are based on that. They work with the skin. They work with the skin of the gut. They work with the skin of the lungs. They work with the skin of the sensory organs. They work with the skin of what we call the skin of the body. They work with that interface, the whole interface of our body. And that is larger and more encompassing than the regulatory points of the interface that acupuncture works with. So in Ayurveda, you can then see that the work is on restoring the integrity of the interface between the outside world and the inside world. And most of the activities are about nourishing and about detoxifying, which is also about de-stressing and getting proper information. So that is the extension of what shamanic spiritual healing does. So once you see that The Ayurveda recapitulates what acupuncture does, and also what that Ayurveda and acupuncture recapitulate what spiritual healing does, then you can see that it is now time that we integrate that in Western medicine. So we can now realize that Western medicine has the anatomic perspective of the body and is really very good at what it understands at that level. But we need to add the relativistic concept of the Ayurvedic and naturopathic medicine, because the processing of the body needs to be added to what we do in healing the body in integral healthcare. So in order to better understand how these processes relate, we also need to understand how the regulation of those processes takes place, and where the process and the self form the physiology, which is the cell communication, that the regulation is actually the electromagnetic process which takes place in every cell. It's the radio field, it's the tuning of the cells between themselves and within their environment. So it's the calibration of the laser device, it's the tuning of the radio, it's the resetting of the sparks, of the spark plugs in the car. So acupuncture works with that, but it can only do that by using the information of the relationship between the cell, the organ, the body, and humanity and the universe as a whole. So there we see that the far Western medicine has the understanding of the information integration, the far Eastern medicine has the understanding of the regulation of the processes within the body and in the context of the body. The Eastern medicine has the understanding of the continuity of the external processes in and as the internal processes, and Western medicine has the knowledge of the result, the outcome of all of that. So we can then see that the anatomy of the body is based on the physiology, which is based on the regulatory system, which is based on the information integration system. But that means that we should understand that the body is actually the result of the physiology. So Western medicine really needs to get a grasp of what Eastern medicine offers, because it is not just giving the drugs to interact with the body and patching up a symptom. We actually need to understand how the drugs nourish the organs, not the cells, not the receptors, but that the drugs are actually part of the plants. We need to go back from pharmacology to phytotherapy, to plant-based natural materials. Yes, we can still refine them, and yes, we can still use them as drugs and pharmaceutical preparations, but they need to be based on the natural materials, which actually means that they go very cheap. And we need to understand how this the cells in the organs work with them. It is not the car body repair shop of Western medicine, but actually the gardening of the gardens of the internal climate of the body in which the cells live and thrive and need to be nourished, so that the cells and organs can regrow themselves, as permaculture describes, and that the body can be healthy in itself again. And that's not just food, but that's also information. That implies